Everybody, I'm glad you all could make it, and I'm anxious to share a portion of God's Word with you, which I've put in study and whatnot. So, this PowerPoint's kind of bugging up, just bear with me for one second. Okay, can you guys see in the back? Okay. So tonight I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about prayer, and I would venture out to say most of us here know that prayer is incredibly important. Most of us here know what prayer is, but maybe some of us here don't know, so that's why I'm here. I just want to talk a little bit about prayer, different parts of it, and just to look at prayer and how important it is. When you watch someone pray, I mean, it doesn't look like they're doing anything special, right? They're just saying a few things to themselves, just taking a minute, bowing their head. It doesn't look like they're doing much. But they're doing something pretty powerful. They really are. I don't remember if it was the first day of Lindsay's first day of kindergarten. I think it was. But Dad shared a story how on the first day of kindergarten, he's never been so proud of my sister. Everyone got their sack lunches and started to eat. And he peeked around the corner, and there she was, praying. The first day of kindergarten. Prayer is super important. That's the point I'm trying to make. And I hope that's what you see throughout this lesson. It's super important. And if someone of that young age can understand it and learn it and apply it to their life, I think we all can too. So let's go into this here. Okay, so why is prayer important? Well, first and foremost, it's how we communicate with our Father in heaven. If someone here doesn't know what prayer is, it's when you are talking to God. You bow your head, you fold your hands, and you pray to Him. You thank Him for everything He's done for you. And it truly is that important. We're talking to the God, our Father who is in heaven. How many of us paid attention to what Mike said in his prayer just now that he led a few minutes ago? Does anyone remember how it started? Our God in heaven, right? We're praying to God who is in heaven. And how important is that? There's nothing more important than talking to God. It's our avenue of how we talk to Him. He speaks to us through His Word, but we talk to Him. We should talk to Him each and every day of our life, multiple times. And through prayer, we know that our relationship should strengthen. Like anything, the more you talk to someone, the more you get to know them. Right? We don't know God in a sense of how I know my Father, how I know some of you. I don't know you physically like I know God. But I know God, I have a relationship with Him through my words and praying to Him. So that's kind of the first reason why prayer is important. Because it's how we communicate with God. The only way we communicate with God today. So the second reason, these are just reasons that I've come up with. I'm sure that most of us could add to or add to this list. But the second reason is because prayer helps us overcome temptation. If you'll flip to Luke, the 22nd chapter, Joe touched on this morning, how our devil, the adversary, we use prayer to overcome temptation, right? We know that he's going to try and tempt us, as Joe has touched on in the last couple lessons. We know that's inevitable. And prayer is one way we can go, as Joe explained this morning, how we can overcome it and how we can get through it. So Luke 22, 39 and 40, it reads, "Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to that place, he said to them," he's speaking to his disciples here, "pray that you may not enter temptation." I'm pretty sure Joe read the account in Matthew earlier, but it's the exact same thing. Jesus told his disciples, "Pray that you may not enter temptation." That tells us that prayer is how we overcome temptation, to get through it. So that's the second reason. So another reason. Prayer reminds us that God's will is to be done and not our own. I think that's something really important that we need to understand when we pray. It's not our will to be done. God has no need for us as humans. We need Him more than anything. We pray to Him. He doesn't pray to us. We go to Him. So how important is it for us to understand it's His will that's to be done? We can see that also in Luke 22. Just drop down a few verses to verse 41. "And he was withdrawn from them," the disciples, "about a stone's throw," not too far, right? "And he knelt down and prayed." We see Jesus kneeling, showing submission. God's will be done. And he says that. Verse 42, "Father, if it is your will, Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And we see the idea also in verse 46. Jesus says, "Why do you sleep?" Talking to his disciples. "Rise up and pray, lest you enter temptation." We see the same idea, not to and how to overcome temptation. He explains in verse 40 and 46. And we see in his prayer, in verse 42, that it's God's will to be done, not our own. Right? Jesus humbled himself before the Father, saying, "Not my will, but yours be done, if it is possible." Right? He's not demanding requests. He's asking, "Father, if it is possible, if it's your will, let this be done, not my will." So a fourth reason why prayer is important. Well, Jesus taught and told his disciples. We can see countless examples, like the one we just read. Look at Matthew 21, in verse 22. And it reads, "Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive it." Jesus here is talking about the fig tree, and he's explaining it to his disciples. Mark 11, there are so many examples we could turn to. Look in Luke 11:1 really quick. Luke 11, chapter 1. "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray,' as John also taught his disciples." Right? Jesus' disciples knew that Jesus knew what prayer was, and they asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And there he goes to explain the model prayer, something that we probably are very familiar with. Right? So a fourth reason why prayer is important is simply because Jesus taught it. Jesus explained to his disciples of it. If Jesus did it, shouldn't we do it? We're Christians, Christ-like. He explained it to his disciples. That tells us it's pretty important to us too. So a fifth reason. We know that prayer is a privilege. Prayer is not a burden like I have up here. Prayer is not a burden, it's a gift. It's not something that we should be frustrated to do or do really quickly. It's something that's to be done very seriously, and it is a privilege. We need to really think about that when we pray, not to rush through it because our dinner is going to get cold. How do you think you're going to feel on Judgment Day when you're looking God in the face and he says, "Why did you rush? You didn't take your time to thank me? You didn't take time to pray to me? I mean, yeah, you prayed, but why didn't you take time?" I know that I don't want to look at him and say, "Well, I didn't want my dinner to get cold." You understand, right? That's He's not going to want to hear that, I promise you. So we need to look at prayer as a privilege. Turn to Hebrews with me. Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but in all points tempted as we are," right? Jesus was man, "yet without sin." Verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of to help in time of need." Going back to the point where we go to Jesus for help. We go to God for help in prayer. That's who we turn to. He doesn't need us, we need him. To be able to talk to the Father is something we must take seriously, like I've said. Think about how important that is. Just truly take a minute and think. You're praying to God. You're not just saying words to make your parents happy. You're not just saying words to please people around and think, "Yeah, look how good I am. Look how good I can speak." A prayer is between you and God, and it's important. It truly is. It's truly important. And I highly encourage you to really think about how you pray. Do you look at it as a burden? Do you really think about it as, "My food's getting cold, but I know I need to do this. Okay, you know, here I go." A good example of this, my sister and I went to Camp David, something that Joe and Debbie are familiar with. Brother David Baker ran it in Arizona, but there were a couple of kids there when Lindsay and I were there around our age, and we would see them pray, which is great, right? I went and sat with them one time, and do you know what they prayed every single time? They prayed the same thing. I've never heard a prayer done so quickly. I'm not exaggerating. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for this food. Amen. It wasn't even that clear. It was mumbled, as you can tell. That's not taking prayer seriously. That's not counting it as a privilege. That to them was a burden. I don't want my food to get cold. I just want to go. I know I need to do this, but I don't want to. God's great. God's good. Right. That, if you're going to have that attitude, why pray at all? Why? Why do it? So reason number six on why prayer is important. This is a reason that I came up with. Well, prayer is important because it is. I mean, when a parent tells you something, it's, you know, to do something or to not do something, do you ask questions? No. Well, prayer is important. Why? Because it is important. Right? I'm sure I've already spoken about this. When we pray, who are we praying to? We're talking to the God, not multiple gods, not the God above a God. We are talking to the one God who created all things. All things. The God that will judge us one day, on Judgment Day. We're talking to that God when we pray, who sent His only Son to die for us. How thankful should we be? I ask you, when the last time when you prayed, did you just say, at a, you know, not around the Lord's table, but just on your own, when did you say, you know what, God, I really appreciate how you sent your Son. I bet that was truly hard, but thank you. I really appreciate it. When we pray, we're praying to the God who loved us when we didn't love Him. That showing that in action, His Son was sent to die on the cross. Right? Prayer is something more than just words. It's words to God. We will never speak more important words than words to our Father in heaven, and that's a fact. So the last reason, real quick, why I think prayer is important is because prayer is how we make our plea to God, make our request made known to Him, and we can see that in a few verses. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. And Paul writes, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." It's simple stuff. In everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Also in the Psalm, the 39th chapter, if you want to turn there real quick. Psalm 39 and verse 12. It reads, "Hear my prayer, O God, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner, as all my fathers were." Right? Hear my prayer. God does hear us. When we pray to Him, that is how we plead to God. We talk to God through prayer. We make requests to Him through prayer. That's important stuff. So now that we've established that prayer is important, right? We can see through a couple different examples, I hope, why prayer is important, how it's important, and the severity of it. Well, let's look at when we should pray. These weren't supposed to all be in there, but that's totally okay. But you can see up on the board when we should be praying. Going back, I forgot to say a point. Going back to the severity of prayer, I truly believe that a fundamental point in my spiritual maturity, my walk with God, however you would like to put it, I truly believe a foundational moment of that was when I was in the middle school class with Seth, Lindsay, Emily, and Victoria Haig at the time, and Mike Finn was our teacher. He asked me to lead a prayer, like I've led prayers a bunch of times, and he stopped me during my prayer. He said, "Tanner, can you pray?" And I started to pray just instantly, and he said, "Can you stop for just a second? I'm not trying to be rude or anything. You know, I'm not trying to upset you." I said, "Yeah, what, did I do something wrong? You know, what did I do? I'm just trying to pray." And he said, "Can you take just a second, just pause for 1 second, get your mind right, think about who you're praying to, and then pray." He said, "Did you do that?" And I said, "No, I just, dear God, Heavenly Father," right? I didn't think about it. Ever since then, I can truly say that when I pray, I think about, man, I'm talking to God. It's time to be serious. And I really do thank you, Mr. Mike, for that, because that was, you know, if I wouldn't have that, who knows how I'd be praying today. Okay, so we know that prayer is important for a couple different reasons. So now let's look at when we should be praying. So we see in Matthew 6:6 that we should be praying in private. Matthew 6:6, Jesus says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Right? We're told to pray in private. We're not, when we pray, like I've said, it's our relationship with God. It's not my relationship with you all, so you all have a good idea about who I am in relation to God. I don't pray for you all. I do pray for you all. But when I pray publicly, I'm not doing it for you all. I'm praying for myself. I'm praying to God. That's who I'm praying to. So we know that prayer should be done in private. It's not something that we need to boast about, like verse 5 talks about. "Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the corners." Right? They want to be heard by men. Guys, look at me. "Dear Heavenly Father." Look, I mean, that's not what it's about. So we know that prayer should be done frequently too. Not only should we do it privately, but it should be done frequently. In Psalm 55... Psalm 55 and verse 17. It reads, "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Evening, morning, and at noon. What time does that exclude? None. None. We know that prayer should be done regularly. In Daniel 6... In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "Now Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and he went home. He went in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He knelt down." We see submission yet again, right? Bowing the head, knees bent, submission to God. "He knelt down on his knees 3 times a day," it's quite frequently, "and prayed, gave thanks before God, as was custom in his early days before captivity." When should prayer be done? Privately, frequently, regularly. What about in times of trouble? We've already read one verse earlier talking about pray in times of trouble, right? That Joe talked about this morning. Look at Psalm 50 in verse 15. Flip back a little bit to Psalm 50. In verse 15, it says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me." Once again, when we pray, God is the one that hears our prayers. No one else. God's the one that will deliver us from evil times. He says that in verse 15. What about prior to meals? I've already explained, and we've already seen when prayer is to be done. Morning, afternoon, and evening. Well, if that doesn't exclude any time, what about praying before you eat a meal? How many of us do that frequently? Or in a good routine of that? If we're not, I encourage you to. That's a great opportunity to pray. What about when you wake up, first thing? Right? Giving thanks to God. The first thing you do when you get out of bed, what is it? We can see an example of that in Mark 1:35. Mark 1:35. "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out, departed to a solitary place, and prayed there." Right? When you wake up, when you go to bed, we can see an example of Jesus praying all night long. Not for a second because his food was getting cold. But he prayed all night long. Think about that. I know that we can get frustrated sometimes or it's hard to stand sometimes for a 2-minute prayer when one of us leads it. Think about praying all night long to God. That's a long time. And I mean, ultimately, why is this important? Because we're commanded to by Christ. In Matthew 6:6, you don't have to flip there, but Jesus said at the beginning there, "But you, when you pray, go into your room." I'm sure and I'm confident that the Bible, the interpretation, it had nothing. It did not say whatsoever, "But you, if you choose to pray, go into your room, shut your door, talk to God privately." If you want to pray, If that's something you feel you should do, then do it. No, Jesus said, "You, when you pray," we are expected to pray. We know it's important. We know we should be doing it more. I mean, there's no amount that we should be satisfied with. That's kind of the point I'm trying to get at. If I'm here in my prayer and someone else is here, that doesn't mean that you should back off or that you should that you should stop. You know, prayer is something that needs to be happening all the time. We're commanded by Christ to do it. So next, let's look at how to pray. We know it's important. We know when to do it all the time, essentially. So now, how do we pray? There again, going back to the example that Mr. Mike and I had, the connection we had when I prayed in the middle school class, he stopped me because I wasn't, yes, I was praying, and yes, my words were going to God, but did I mean them? Was I really in the right mind to think, okay, I'm talking to the God of heaven, who created all things, who's done all things for me, am I really focused to talk to him right now? Because I wasn't. And I truly appreciate him stopping me, because that made me aware, wow, prayer's kind of a serious deal. They're not just words, they're words to God. How much more seriously should we take them? Right, we need to be careful with the words that we share among brethren. How much more careful do we need to be when we're talking to God? So how do we pray? Well, like coincidentally, like Mike prayed earlier, how he began his prayer, our God in heaven. I remember I was listening. He said, our God in heaven, right? Addressing our Heavenly Father, God the Father. We pray to God by the authority in Christ. How did Mike end his prayer? In the name of Jesus, I pray, right? And how often do we start something, a prayer like this? You know, our Father in heaven, dear Heavenly Father, dear God, something to that effect. We pray to God through Jesus, in Jesus, by his authority. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name this prayer has been made. Something to that effect, right? There truly is a right way to pray. What you say in your prayer, that is up to you. That is your relationship with you and God. And it's not right for me to say you need to pray for me for this, or you need to pray for so-and-so for that. But what I can say is, when we pray, we need to know who we are praying to and how we are praying and why it's important. That's a fact. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, we also see a couple restrictions or a couple things we need to really understand when we pray. So Matthew 6, verse 5 through 8. We've already read a little bit of this, but it's important, so I'm going to read it again. Verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they will have their reward. Rather, verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room. When you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Verse 7, and when you pray, again, Jesus said in verse 6, when you pray, verse 7, and when you pray, not if you want to pray. We need to pray. We're commanded to. I'm getting sidetracked. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Verse 8, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. God knows all things, right? He knows what we're going to pray before we even pray it. How are we to pray? Not using vain repetitions. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for this food. Amen. They got that rehearsed. And that's not the way we should be praying. That's a fact. We also see in a humble manner, going into your room or in a private place, right? We've seen that idea already. And I'm not saying you actually have to go into your room to pray with your door shut. The point that Jesus is making here is to not be... You're not praying to be seen by men. That's what Jesus is getting at here. So, we know prayer is important. We know when to pray all the time. We know how to pray, who we are praying to. So lastly, I just wanted to look at the model prayer. It's here. You don't have to flip anywhere. But I just wanted to go through this and see an example, right? I'm sure many of us pray, but it's important to go to Jesus, what Jesus said, and an example he gave. So I wanted to go through these verse by verse here. So I'll first read it. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. In this manner, therefore, pray. Jesus said, our Father in heaven, touched on that. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and power and the glory forever. Amen. So let's go through this verse by verse and really see what Jesus prayed for. All right, if this is our model prayer, one other thing I'd like to point out. This is a model prayer. This is not the prayer that we need to say every time. We were just told prior to not use vain repetitions, right? Not to get in a habit. We should have a habit of praying, but not the same prayer, not the same thing. That's memorized. That's not giving glory to God. That's trying to rehearse something and get through it so you can eat your food, play your game, whatever it is. That's not what it's about. Okay, so verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So first off, we see here honor and acknowledgement of the Father and his name. Right, God, dear Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. You are right there in what Jesus is saying. He's giving total and complete honor, and he's submitting himself to the Father. He's saying, I'm below you. You are above me. You are everything, essentially. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Something we've already seen. Isn't it funny how in the Bible, when you start to research something, you see repeated themes? I think that's good, because then we know we're teaching what's right. Verse 10, God's will be done, right? We can see that. And he is in control of all things. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Right there we see Jesus. There's nothing wrong to ask for things. Give us this day our daily bread. He asked us, help us, get us, you know, give us daily sustenance to help us get us through the day. Help brother so-and-so. There's nothing wrong with asking God for things. That is how we do it. That's our avenue to ask through prayer, through our words to God. There's nothing wrong with that. Verse 12, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's important to remember the avenue of forgiveness, right? And to ask God, forgive us constantly for our sins, because we do make mistakes, right? And how important is it to pray for forgiveness and for those things, right? I wrote a bulletin this week on grace, and when we ask God for forgiveness, we're found in his good grace, right? He supplies the grace to us as long as we're righteous, as Job went on to write about. And then verse 13, finally, do not lead us into temptation, something that Joe talked about this morning, right? God will deliver us. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and power and glory forever. Amen. Right? And here we can see simple things. He's not praying in a hard way to understand, right? Verse 13 talks about helping us stay away from temptation and evil, as Joe has touched on. Prayer is one avenue to do that, as he's talked about. Help deliver us from the evil one. I'm going to ask you another question. Not only when was the last time you prayed, not only when was the last time you prayed and thanked God for his son who died on the cross, suffered a miserable death for me and for you, but when was the last time you prayed, you asked God, or you told God how thankful you were for his son, but when was the last time you said, can you help me get through this issue? I'm struggling with this. Help keep me away from the devil. God wants us to come to him with our problems and with our... He wants us to understand all these things. He wants us to want to stay away from those things. And when we pray, that helps. That does not hurt us at all. And then finally, in the last half of verse 13, we see, for yours is the kingdom and power and glory forever. Amen. Right? The idea that you're all powerful, kind of going back to how we started, how Jesus started. Hallowed be our name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Right? You are powerful. I am praying to you. Everything is in your hands. I'm just letting my request be made known. And that's how we ought to pray. There again, this is not the prayer that we pray every single time. Right? This is not what we pray every time. It's the idea, it's the concepts. Honor God. Understand when we pray to God, understand that it's his will that's to be done. That's why we pray to him. If you had faith in something else, why aren't you praying to him or her or it? Right? Honor God, acknowledge him, thank him for everything. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking for things to help us. Forgiveness is huge in a prayer, and helping us stay away from the devil, from evil. coincidentally, five things. Next time you pray, think about five things when you pray. I haven't directly spoke on the plan of salvation tonight, but I would like to say that if you are not a child of God, there is no better time than now to make your life right, because we never know what the future holds. And that's truth as well. If you are a child of God and you haven't been praying like you should, pray. Pray to Him. It's nothing hard. Devote 5 minutes. That's not a lot of time. If Jesus can pray all night, I'm pretty sure you and I can find 5 minutes to pray to our Father, thank Him, ask for forgiveness if you need it, ask for help for other people if they come to you. Ask for help on other people's behalf. Ask for help on your behalf. Thank Him for things that He's done for us. So if I hope this lesson's been beneficial. And there again, let's say you are praying. Let's say everything here that I've talked about, you are already doing great, right? You pray multiple times a day. And that's not something I can judge, how often you should pray. But let's say you feel great about how you pray. Don't stop. That's my goal to you. Don't stop. Keep going. Pray more if you can, right? So I hope this lesson's been beneficial. And if you have any need, please make it known as we stand and sing.
Number 62. Psalm number 62.